ChristmasRising.com.
This is Deborah Friedis. Right now I'm sitting outside at the Suzanne Dalal Center with Avshalom Pollack, and Inbal Pinto, his partner, will be joining us shortly. We're going to talk a little bit today about their work with the Inbal Pinto Dance Company. Avshalom, can you please say hello?
Hello.
Thanks, Avshalom. So right now Inbal is actually rehearsing with a few of the dancers on a piece called Shaker, which will be performed this week at the center. So I'll start with you instead, Avshalom. And I'm curious, I know that you started more in the theater world. How did you start acting, and what was your transition into dance?
I think everything kind of changed when Inbal and I met. Nothing was planned. It just happened. Like creation happens, I guess. I mean, we met almost 20 years ago in the purpose of doing a collaboration with a production that I did, and I knew that Inbal created her first piece. We didn't work together, but we began like seeing each other, and then we started being a couple. And slowly, slowly, we also started creating together, and this is what happened. I mean, I kind of sucked inside the dance world, and
What had you done previously with your acting or with your theater work?
I kind of been everywhere in terms of theaters around Israel, jumping really fast from a place to place, and I did a little bit of TV and film as well. I directed and wrote a play when I was in drama school, and this is when I met Inbal. Maybe the reason I'm inside this world is my father, which is an actor as well and director, and I kind of grew into the stage without knowing I'm going to be an actor, and that's kind of happened. And then without knowing that I'm going to be a choreographer, it happens as well because of my meeting with Inbal. And I still don't know what I'm going to be in the future, so...
Am I right that the Inbal Pinto Dance Company was formed in 1992?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that was the first year that something was created, so, yeah. I mean, it kind of changed and grew and expanded since then. I mean, we started as a project company that... we didn't have like regular dances. It was from project to project, and we did many other stuff in the same time to support the company and the creation. And over the years, it grew and grew and grew. And now we have a steady company with more than 9 steady dancers and more freelance dancers and actors and administration supporting staff and more and more and more. And it's continue to develop and expand.
And how long has the company been in residence here at the Suzanne Dalal Center?
Many years ago, it was like the only place to present work. They have few studios to work in and to split with many other choreographers. So it's on and off. I mean, since 1992, we kind of travel from place to place. We had relationship with the Israeli opera for a year or two. We worked with a theater in Haifa for a year or two. And so it's jumping around. But, I mean, maybe all the way we kind of, I mean, that was the main anchor for our work as being Suzanne Dalal, the main dance center in Israel. So that was the actual anchor or the point to come back every time or to go out from. This time it's like we're sitting here 2 years or something like that in the studio, and we have our offices here, so it's like it's an arbor, so we coming and going from here to different places.
I know from looking at your website and your company's schedule that some of the places you go are abroad. How long have you been touring, and what seems to be the response to your work when you're traveling?
I think, well, one of the reasons we exist is because we tour, and because we have relationships and places to perform outside of Israel. we touring since we are creating, I think, and it's as I said before, it's growing and expanding over the years, and depends on the productions of the scale of work and so on. I think that's the reason we are what we are, because of where we go and who we meet and what we see. So that's another reason for the company and the creation.
And you've also had a lot of collaborations abroad. It hasn't just been showing work that you've developed in Israel and presenting them on stages across the world. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the groups that you've collaborated and some of the productions that have come out of these?
Well, it's different from every project, but I think, I mean, we have 3 or 4 productions that were co-produced by different places around the world. Oyster was co-produced by Maison de la Danse in Lyon, and there's a production called Boobies that was co-produced by the Single Theater in Antwerp, and Hydra, the recent piece was co-produced with or by Saitama Art Foundation in Japan and with Steps Festival in Switzerland. And I think every production that was co-produced by a place was more or less not only based on the fundings or the financial support, but it kind of gave us like another piece of the place that we are creating. So everything is kind of sneaking in into what we do in different kind of ways. I mean, the last thing, I mean, it's not only the support and building it there and doing the premiere there. We have 2 Japanese dancers performing, and some of the research for the production was Japanese author, very famous author that was introduced to us by the producers there. It's more than just going and performing in places. It's exchange of information and knowledge, and we take more than just money from the places to create.
So you talk about these cultural influences on your work from when you've traveled and produced pieces there. And what other influences do you have on your work?
I think everything. It's like every time it's a different kind of adventure or journey, and it's not really something we're planning or aiming to achieve. It happens because of what we do and because of the massive amount of information that we're dealing with. Even the creation that we did in Japan, it's not because we wanted to create something about Japan and we wanted to do something that is influenced by Japan. It kind of happened because our interaction with Japan and Japanese culture and our previous visits in Japan, and not because we want to do something on or for or influenced by or saying something about. And until now, I mean, I can say that we collecting bits and pieces from different kind of adventures that we're having in our life, and it's going into a strange process inside our head, heart, and imagination, and then goes out in a form of a creation. We want to discover it. We want to see at the end what's going to happen, what the magic is going to be about.
Yeah, you mentioned both imagination and magic, and I think those are 2 words that almost immediately come to mind when I think of the 2 productions of yours that I've seen, Shaker and Oyster. You certainly both have some extraordinary imaginations. I know watching the work, especially watching Oyster, which I've seen twice, both times, even knowing what would happen the second time around, I felt like a little kid opening big present with lots of little boxes inside, and you kind of just keep going and each one has a different surprise. Or maybe it's like those little Russian nesting dolls, and you get one and you think, oh, how great, and then you open it up and you see something different and go, oh my God, that's in there too. And it just sort of unfolds in this really magical way with characters that draw you in, and the scene, the scenery, the costumes, the music, everything. it's very enjoyable to watch. And as I said, even to watch multiple times. And I've spoken to other people who come again and again to see the productions, because they do have that sense of magic, which, you know, sometimes you can find it, I guess, in the real world, and other times it's harder to. So it's a neat way to have those moments of surprise and awe and joy.
This is Inbal.
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to officially meet you.
Yeah.
So say hi to our audience.
Hello.
Thank you. We're in the middle of the work day, and I'm lucky enough to get a little bit of time right now with both Inbal and Avshalom. And Avshalom, you told us a little bit about how you kind of started out with theater and then in the work that you have with the Inbal Pinto Dance Company. But I'd like to now pose the question to you. How did you start dancing?
I don't remember the beginning. It's. I think when I was 5 years old, I started, as most girls in my age started. And then I had a couple of pauses, and the difference between me and other girls were that I didn't think that I will be a dancer, and the other was thinking that that's their future. And I think somehow life brought me to this stage, and I'm doing what I'm doing, and I feel lucky.
Thank you. What kind of dance did you start in? What styles were you training in?
Of course, ballet. It's for princess. I started ballet, but then I realized pointe shoes is not for me, so I stopped, and I had a great teacher, neighbor, that was, I think she's still teaching now, most of my our dancers, and I got burned with her fire, you know, she was so addicting.
Dance has a way of being addictive, yes.
I think there is a different addictions, like, you know, doing sport. There's something that's come from a very... It's like alternative for talking. It's another language of expressing. So it's not just about sweat and feeling your body. It's much more than that.
What motivated you to start choreographing and not just dancing?
When I was, I think, at the age of 16, I had an idea, because I had kind of a conflict between dance and painting. I always danced and I always paint, and I didn't know which direction to go. And I decided, let's do a piece that combined both. I did that when I was 21, I think. And then I thought, I've done with dancing. And then Ohad Naharin came to me and offered me to make a piece for the ensemble. And then I thought, like, wow, I didn't think of another piece. I thought, like, I have to fulfill my dream, and then I just continue with what I'd done before. And then I said, well, I would try, you know. And it continued. I did for the ensemble. Then he offered me to join the company, and so it was kind of a route full of surprises, and which I sucked into.
So the ensemble you're talking about is the Bat Sheva Ensemble.
Yes.
And what had you been doing then in the interim period between saying, okay, I'm done with this, and then Ohad asking you to make this work? Were you working with painting, with art?
I was thinking of going to start in Bezalel, which is the Academy of Art, and I was accepted to this. So my plan was just to start my studies.
Who knows what the art world is missing, but I'm glad that you decided to go into choreography. Both of you may have things to say about this, I don't know. But the first question I'll ask for the two of you is, how would you describe your movement style? Who wants to tackle that first? Inbal?
It's changing according to the idea. So the motivation is the world that we're creating. It's kind of creating every time a different language. Although it comes from the same bodies, the motivation is every time is different, and it changes the physicality and the language, and it even changed the muscles from one production to another. So I think it's like so, we've been asked to teach the language of our pieces, and what I feel is like if you have to learn the pieces because every time is in a different method and a different idea and a different physicality. You use different muscles, different bones, different way of thinking. So it's right, like recreating ourselves every time.
With that, how do your dancers train?
They come with different skills, but we're using mostly in the beginning of the day, we're doing ballet and modern or contemporary classes. Sometimes we're doing contact.
Well, I have the two of you together. Can you tell me a little bit about your creative process? Avshalom, I know you spoke to this a little bit, but more concretely, how does it work in the studio with the dancers? What material are you coming in with? How does it develop? And how do you balance each other?
As I started saying before, we're trying to recreate ourselves from scratch and to do things that we never done and we never dealt with. So the idea is to get into, to start with a certain key and to get into a dark room and to lit it slowly, slowly. If I just, you know, say it in a very metaphoric way. But it's very much like it because you can start from really small key. The key can be a certain feeling of movement. It can be a certain idea of the communicating and certain research of movement, relationship, atmosphere, world, stage, situation, picture, drawing, movie. And it can start from really from the small until the big. And slowly, slowly collecting information that are from the same field or the same area. And it builds itself layer by layer. As soon as you have a phrase, then you can put it into a situation. You can play with the music. You can break it out. You can come with the idea of a certain, again, certain situation, a certain movement, throw it to the dancer, see what they bring, play with it, use it or not use it, and never be afraid of throwing anything, because it's all about creating one thing, one unit thing, which makes sense, so trying not to fall in love with anything. And of course, I mean, if you fall in love, that's good. It's probably good.
Well, I think maybe the bottom line is to know how to do without knowing, and that's it. I mean, to try not to know, but then know how to deal with it.
And how to get lost. So not to be afraid to get lost. It's like this is how we, in a way, finding a new direction. Because when you go lost, that it's definitely a place where you've never been. It's a good beginning.
You're both very much explorers of the imagination, I think.
Yeah, that's in a way that's it's to push the imagination into places where you've never been and to explore things that eventually motivate by our intuition and to trust our intuition that it will lead us to the right places.
I think it's like to say that, I mean, it's all like big words. I mean, eventually we have to know what's going to happen and what to do with it. So maybe, I mean, these statements, not knowing and everything, it's something we're trying to achieve, but still we have to build a piece at the end. And this is something that it's developing because of our knowledge and skills and abilities to collect all this information and make something out of it at the end, and to know how to work with people, how to take advantage of ideas and connections and dynamics and all these things at the end. And yeah, I mean, it's to have the subconscious active without pushing it. It's not forcing anything to go out. I mean, it's like someone that writes and the pen just moves because it can flow out. I mean, that's a big thing to achieve. And sometimes it happens.
How long do you generally have to work on a piece from the beginning of these seeds of ideas to the premiere?
It's a very crucial question because we're not dealing how to make a piece in 2 weeks. We had a situation in the company that we had now to make a full evening in 2 weeks. And then I don't know, I was trying to go into the history of dance and to see if anyone done that. So I could say it takes like between 2 weeks, which is not a good time for creating. Till 5 months, let's say. We did an opera in 2 months. We did it's changing a lot.
And I know that some of the pieces are performed over the course of years. Oyster, for example. Have you changed them as they've been performed in different places, as the dancers have grown in it?
The dancers also has changed. So it's not the same cast that we've been working at the beginning. And of course that every time that the dancer change, we're changing a little bit according to his abilities. And we are growing in the piece. We are finding more and more details and more understanding and changing and according to where we are. So definitely it has been changed.
Quickly with Oyster, I saw it twice here at Suzanne Dalal. The last time was last week. And afterwards you were addressing a small crowd of some teenagers from an art school, and I know you referred to how many performances there had been. Can you share that number with us? Because I think it's extraordinary.
I think we did 299, right? So next one is 300.
Is that your most performed piece?
Yes.
Is there a work that you think has been most successful or most fulfilling, either for yourself, for the dancers, for audiences?
The fulfilling, I think it's always you fulfill from the last piece you've done. It's your last achievement, your more, it's like your new discovery. So I think we are more excited by that. For the dancer, I think it changed from one dancer to another. One can be more enthusiastic about one piece. It's dependent on his role in the piece as well. I know this cast that is now we have now is very enthusiastic about doing a piece that called Boobies that we did in 2002. It's very much a challenge for them to do that. I think it's the hardest one. Yeah.
Why?
Because the piece is very, very grounded. It works a lot on the thighs and it's crazy physical. You have to, you dance until you die. And for us, I think, Oyster runs the most, we're lucky to have Oyster and that is a piece that speaks for so many crowds. So it's good to have Oyster.
I think we're kind of dealing most of the time with problems and not being satisfied. And sometimes there are moments, brief moments of happiness, and that's it. I mean, everything kind of blends.
Avshalom, we talked a little bit about influences on your work, and you got to speak. And in Bal, we spoke a little bit about your background in visual art as well as dance, and how those kind of were coming together, but also competing for your attentions. And you've ended up being a choreographer, and I'm wondering how your background in visual art has influenced you as a choreographer.
I cannot disconnect my visual world then from my dancing. Both are part of me, and they collaborate since I born. In a way, someone told me, talked about the dance as a format of shapes and aesthetics. And I do think that, in a way, dance is also, it is that. And from that, of course, I connect to the aesthetic and to the visual and to the meaning of each movement. For me, the language is dance. And I research dance in a way that, how can I express myself in many ways. How can I find to say even the same thing, but in a different way, to find different qualities? And I found every time that is the body is so rich of options that it's incredible that after so long that I'm working on dance, I still didn't find the end of it, the end of the research, the end of the what's the possibilities, the qualities. And every time that we are creating, I'm trying to understand how can I reach the body in a different way that I haven't done before. With the visual, because it's part of me, it's always support the world that we are creating. If I'm, let's say, wants to create a certain atmosphere, so I research the body, what will create this atmosphere in this certain direction that I'm thinking of, and then I think what will support it in a visual way that will support the dance. I think my visual world serve the dance, but it's also serve many of my small worlds that I'm creating for myself, because I always touch myself as a craftsman, as someone that creates something from nothing, and I always enjoy that part of me.
Hydra is about to have its Israeli premiere at the Israel Festival in Jerusalem this weekend. I am going on Sunday and I'm eagerly awaiting it. And I know that we spoke last time, especially Avshalom and I, about that production and the relationship to Japan and also with other productions, that when you're making work elsewhere, it's not just a matter of financial support, but other things kind of creep in and influence, and you're not setting out to create something Japanese, but there's an influence from interacting with the people, the culture, the society. And your home base is here in Israel, and you're Israelis. And I'm curious what things from Israeli culture and society have filtered into your work or influenced your work. Are there things that you think are particularly Israeli that have touched your work or shaped your work?
It's something that you cannot really point, because as us being Israeli, you cannot say what is Israeli, because we are Israeli, and I think everything that has been done from our world comes from our experiences being living here in this country, and of course living here and living out of the from here, and watching other cultures, having meeting with different people and from different background, so, and that's what creates our world. So of course I cannot speak that I can disconnect myself and judge what is Israeli about our work. This is not something that I can do. Maybe Avshalom can do it.
Well, as Inbal said, it's not something that we are thinking of or investigating, but thinking about it, I think that's the thing. I mean, we are what we are because we are Israelis, and because we are, I mean, we're trying to explore and to discover ourselves. It's a little bit like Israel, I think, which is like a very young country, has a lot of nations inside of it, and trying to define itself in a way. So we are, in a very small scale as well, trying to figure out what we are and where we're going, because of the country, because the country is a little bit not very sure what's going to happen, not very sure what it is, where it's going, if it's going to stay or not, borders, where we are, who we're living with, mixture of cultures. So I think in a very maybe subconscious way, it influences who we are and makes us these two scientists that are trying to figure out about our art and investigate different kind of places and create something out of it. And I think the thing about Israel, I mean, the love-hate relationship also makes, in a way, an influence to the way we are creating. These opposites that is very strong in this country is something that we are using in what we're doing, opposites and sides, and it's the spices of the earth that goes inside the spices of our creations.
You both speak so poetically about your work and your process and life, and I think it's really a reflection of what I see on stage, just such imagination and otherworldly in a sense. And I really have enjoyed speaking with you and getting that sense, which I saw on stage, to see it in you as well in your discussion of your work. So thank you both so much. Toda rabba.
Thank you. Toda.
Thank you.
Shalom. Bye.